Move Fast and Break Things. Written and read by Jonathan Taplin. Dedication for Maggie. Move fast and break things. Unless you are breaking stuff, you aren't moving fast enough. Mark Zuckerberg. Introduction. I thought I was going to write the story of a culture war. On one side were a few libertarian internet billionaires, the people who brought you Google, Amazon, and Facebook. And on the other side were the musicians, journalists, photographers, authors, and filmmakers who were trying to figure out how to continue to make a living in the digital age. I have spent much of my life producing music and movies for artists such as Bob Dylan and the Band, George Harrison, and Martin Scorsese, to name a few. And the future of the media in which I worked, not to mention the role of the artist in our society, is important to me. I was lucky enough to start out at a time when an artist could make a decent living by making music or a movie, and as a partner in this work, I succeeded too. But those days are over. Since 1995, the last time I produced a movie to die for, the digital distribution of most popular forms of art has reinforced the popularity of a small group of artists and cast almost all the others into the shadow. To be a young musician, filmmaker, or journalist today is to seriously contemplate the prospect of entering a profession that the digital age has eroded beyond recognition. The deeper you delve into the reasons artists are struggling in the digital age, the more you see that internet monopolies are at the heart of the problem. And that is no longer a problem just for artists. The web has become critical to all of our lives as well as the world economy, and yet the decisions on how it is designed have never been voted on by anyone. Those decisions were made by engineers and executives at Google, Facebook, and Amazon, plus a few others, and imposed upon the public with no regulatory scrutiny. The result is what President Obama calls a Wild West world without privacy or security that leaves every citizen vulnerable to criminal, corporate, and government intrusion. As Obama wrote in The Economist, a capitalism shaped by the few and unaccountable to the many is a threat to all. The internet is changing our democracy, too. In Twitter, Donald Trump found the perfect vehicle for his narcissistic personality, allowing him to strike out at all his perceived tormentors. And Facebook, the primary news source for 44% of Americans, was equally responsible for the Trump victory, according to Ed Wasserman, the dean of the University of California, Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. Trump was able to get his message out on Facebook in a way that was vastly influential without undergoing the usual kinds of quality checks that we associate with reaching the mass public. Facebook was flooded with fake news stories, and BuzzFeed reported that in the final 3 months of the U.S. presidential campaign, the top performing fake election news stories on Facebook generated more engagement than the top stories from major news outlets such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Huffington Post, NBC News, and others. As Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, told the New York Times, "If it wasn't for social media, I don't see Trump winning." But the libertarians who control the major internet firms do not really believe in democracy. The men who lead these monopolies believe in an oligarchy in which only the brightest and the richest get to determine our future. Peter Thiel, the first outside investor in Facebook and co-founder of PayPal, thinks the major problem of American society is its unthinking demos, the democratic public that constrains capitalism. Thiel told Wall Street Journal columnist Holman W. Jenkins that only 2% of the populace, the scientists, entrepreneurs, and venture capitalists, understand what is going on, and the other 98% don't know anything. What I mistook as only a culture war is an economic war.